Grace to you and peace from the one who is and who was and who is to come. Amen. We have come to think that John and Jesus are relatives because of the book of Luke. Yet the Gospel of Matthew doesn't mention anything about their relationship at this point. We tend to look at the Gospels from a harmonious perspective, but most scholars agree that the evangelist, and evangelist is nothing but a fancy name for gospel writer, the evangelists wrote their gospels independently from one another, each writing in his own genre. The four evangelists who made it into the Bible were probably all guys, each writing in his own time and space. That is why we have such differing accounts from each of the four evangelists. There were some common sources, we know that, and I think they were both oral and written, and yet each evangelist wrote down his gospel for a specific audience and at a particular time, and all four were from different locations, too. So it comes down to us that the Matthew account doesn't have anything about how John was related to Jesus. We don't know if Matthew purposefully left it out or if he just didn't know about it. It is also curious because Matthew is the evangelist who begins his gospel with a great big long genealogy of Jesus. But he says nothing about John's parentage. Luke is the evangelist who indicates Jesus and John were kinfolk. It just wasn't an important detail for Matthew because John's message is more important than John's lineage. His message is, get right with God. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Note, in Matthew's gospel, it is also the kingdom of heaven, not the kingdom of God that we'll see in the other gospels. Matthew's concept of heaven is not just on some cloud in the future, however, but something that comes close to us, right where we are. More than that, Matthew, along with the other evangelists, sets forth that Jesus is the one who will bring God's royal rule near to us, so that when Jesus is near, so also the realm of heaven is near to us as well. At hand, says the King James, just as if you could reach out and touch it. It is that close, that real. John's message, we should not be surprised, is exactly the same as the message of Jesus will be. And it is that there's too much crookedness in this world. And it's high time we unbend ourselves, our society, and the world around us, and act fairly, justly, and honestly with people whose citizen is heavenly, as opposed to people who are worldly. There's been too much playing around with the contours of the ins and outs of sin in our lives. It's time to make a beeline for the kingdom of heaven. Come right to the one who is the one who redeems you and keeps your life in line. John seemed to know his audience, and not all of them were what they were making themselves out to be. He called them a bunch of snakes. They were coming from near and far, and John tells them, now that you are here in the wilderness, the place where God calls the prophets, act like you belong here. And that is the message for us today, too. Act like you belong here. You've heard it before. There are some things about the way you are acting toward God and toward your neighbor that need changing in your life. People are looking to you because you call yourself Christians. Why then do you sometimes forget who you are and act as though you were not? Enough already. People are suffering because Christ's followers are not getting in line with the program. It should be as Isaiah spoke in the first lesson, they will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as full as the waters cover the sea. Christ is coming to us in order that the world might be changed by us. As we will discover today in the pastor's class, Abraham wasn't blessed by God so he could keep those blessings to himself, but rather so that all the families of the earth might be blessed. We find ourselves in those same shoes. Indeed, we have been blessed by God. Now it is high time we should use those blessings to be a blessing to our neighbors around us. Yes, dear friends of Christ, and Christ considers all of you, his friends. We are loved by the one whose love is higher than the highest mountain, and whose mercy is broader than the ocean, and whose grace is deeper than the seas. So let us lay aside our self-directed impulses and desires and be the ones whom Christ sends us out to be lights to a dim world, hope for the downtrodden, joy for the bereaved, possibility for the impoverished. Let us not be like the chaff that is carried away by the winds of harvest and thrown into the fire that never ends. But rather let us put forth grain and kernel, the kernel of God's planting that produces rich harvests full of God's fiery spirit, people of joy and love, peace and patience, kindness and goodness, long-suffering, faithful people in control of themselves. Let us be the people of heavenly rule, God's heavenly rule, who seek good to establish justice for those who have it not, so that all God's creation may know that God is not yet done with this world, and that there are more creative changes yet to come. Let us be that root that comes out of the stump of Jesse, and let us live the prayer that we pray for our confirmands, that the Spirit of the Lord may rest upon us. Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, so that our words and our actions will be a delight to the God who loves us and brings us into light. Amen. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in your lives, so that in the power of the Holy Spirit, you may be rich in hope. Amen.